We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us for Triad Today, a weekly community affairs program on 98.7 Simon. I'm Charlie, your host. Every 45 seconds, someone in the United States has a stroke. Of those patients, 40% will die, and only 20% will be functionally independent after 6 months. What causes a stroke? Are there different types? And how can we help people recover more quickly? Wake Forest Baptist Health's Comprehensive Stroke Center is recognized around the world for pioneering, cutting-edge, patient-centered stroke treatment and care. This morning, Leilani L. Johnson, the Clinical Research Coordinator, and Dr. Mustafa Ezzedine are joining me to tell us more about strokes and an exciting new research study that may help limit the damage caused by one. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Would you please explain to our listeners what is a stroke and what happens to your body when you have one?
Thank you for the question, Charlie. A stroke, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, is a fairly common disease, and it really boils down to an injury that happens to the brain because you have interruption of blood supply. Unlike other body organs that can really sustain some degree of lack of blood supply that brings in the oxygen and brings in the sugar to these cells that they can keep working, the brain is very sensitive. So any interruption in blood supply to the brain where you're not having enough oxygen to that part of the brain and you don't have enough nutrients to keep those brain cells working can cause injury. And those injuries can occur very quickly. If you interrupt the blood supply to the brain more than a few minutes, you start seeing evidence of injury. And the greater the amount of time that you keep this, then the less likely this injury can be reversible. Typically, when we're looking at brain cells, if you don't get this blood supply more than 3 to 4 hours, it becomes very hard to reverse that brain injury.
There are two different types of stroke. What are those, and do you use different treatments for each?
Sure. And when we typically think about stroke, we are thinking most of the time about an ischemic stroke, where you have the arteries that bring the blood supply to the brain blocked for some reason or another. Common reasons is hardening of the arteries, atherosclerosis, where you can have a piece of plaque that breaks off from the hardening of the arteries and clogs the pipes and causes this injury. But you can also have a different type of stroke where you have a rupture in the wall of the artery, these vessels that bring in the blood flow to the brain. And with this rupture, you have blood seeping out of these arteries inside the brain and causing damage this way, and also interrupting blood supply downstream. So for ischemic stroke, which is the more common kind of the two, which is almost 85% of all types of strokes, we do have fairly advanced treatments for this. For the last 20 to 25 years, there have been major advances of treatments in stroke. We have now multiple medications that can be used to reverse the clot, to dissolve it and open up these pipes. We also have devices, catheters that you can put into these clots and take them out. We have advanced imaging techniques that we could use to identify patients that had some degree injury but still have a part of the brain where you can reverse that injury. So the options on the ischemic side are major. We have built fairly extensive systems of care that allows early identification of these strokes, bringing these patients early, having the medical teams ready to take care of them and act on this information very quickly. On the hemorrhagic side, where that's the 15% of these strokes, the options are still fairly limited. We know that controlling blood pressure early on might make a difference. Occasionally, there is room for a surgical intervention, doing a major brain surgery to try to relieve the pressure in the brain from this bleeds. But overall, we have made very little strides and very little advancement in treatment of hemorrhagic strokes so far.
How can someone tell if they or someone nearby them is having a stroke?
Strokes are... Symptoms really depend on where the part of the brain that is injured. We have very localized functions in the brain. So if you hit one part of the brain, you will have difficulty with your language. If you have hit a different part, you might have different weakness in your arm. You might have numbness in your leg. So it really depends on what part of the brain that is injured in terms of the symptoms that show up. It is almost always very sudden. It happens very quickly. 1 minute you're okay, and the second you are not. It can also occur while you're asleep, so you wake up with these symptoms. A good mnemonic to remember is called FAST, and this is focusing on identifying the symptoms. Face, if you have drooping or weakness in the face, that's the first letter of the FAST acronym. Arm, where you have weakness in your arm, and that's the second letter. Speech, where you're having difficulty producing language, understanding language, slurring of your words, that's the S of the FAST. And then time, again, emphasizing that if you identify these symptoms in a loved one or a friend or a colleague, or if you experience those symptoms, you need to act fast on them and not wait, because time is of the essence.
But as you mentioned, everyone's symptoms may not be exactly the same depending on what part of the brain is being affected.
Yeah, that's correct. So you might have other symptoms that are not captured by this acronym. For example, some patients with stroke have unsteadiness and they cannot walk very well, or they can lose vision in one eye or the other. So there are more symptoms than that. But this acronym I mentioned a little bit earlier, the face, arm, speech, and time, identifies for the non-medical personnel about 80% of these patients. So it's a good screening tool. But yes, there are other symptoms that can occur. You can have visual loss, you can have balance difficulties, you can have dizziness. And I think the difficulty we see from our side is the reluctance of the public sometimes to seek help or seek expert opinions, and trying to minimize symptoms. And I think the answer is you really don't want to do that. You really, if something unusual, unexpected is happening where you have a function that you'd expect to do and suddenly you cannot do it, you really need to get checked out.
So if I think someone near me is having a stroke, what should I do?
And, you know, the first temptation in these circumstances to wait and see if it goes away. You want to call your family doctor and see what they think. But the real answer is, if you see any of those symptoms, you have to call 911. We know that if we call 911 and we get emergency medical services involved, you get to the hospital much faster. You get to medical attention much faster. And luckily, in the region here, we have multiple stroke centers that can really do this emergency evaluation. So we can, you shouldn't be reluctant in terms of calling 911.
Even if you're alone, don't just go lay down. You should also call 911, correct?
Absolutely, Charlie. If you lay down, you're just losing time. And you might have heard this. Time is muscle when it comes to heart attack. Time is definitely brain when it comes to strokes. The earlier we are able to provide treatments, the earlier we can capture these things, the faster we get, the more effective our interventions are.
For people who survive a stroke, the injury that's caused to the brain can make their recovery difficult. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, the brain is a very complex machine, and it is very specialized. So other parts of the body has a bigger ability to regenerate and recover from injury than the brain has. So the recovery in the brain can take a while. And the first step really for us is to reverse as much of the injury as we can and make sure there is no further injuries that occur, because if you have one stroke, you're usually at risk for having more strokes. So you want to prevent further insults. And then this is where the therapies come in. Training your muscles, training your language can go a long way in recovering of the brain. And for the most part, for the folks that are able to have a moderate injury or a minor injury, there is significant recovery that can happen, but requires a lot of therapy.
Well, as you mentioned, time is of the essence, and research has shown that if you can stop the bleeding quickly, the patient may have a greater chance of recovery. And that's where your new study comes in. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. I'm very delighted to talk about the study, because we're hoping to be a landmark change in the way we treat hemorrhagic strokes. For ischemic strokes, we have these clot busters, these medications that dissolve these clots. For hemorrhagic strokes, we don't have an equivalent. But we do know that with brain hemorrhages, the injury that occurs early on does not stop after the burst of the artery and you have bleeding inside the brain. It continues for a few hours. We think up to 24, but most of that is really the first maybe 2-3 hours, where that hemorrhage inside the brain is a growing clot that is causing more and more injury as it is expanding. We do have medications that can stabilize clots. We have a medication called Factor VII that is already used in patients who have bleeding disorders that are born with deficiencies in their clotting system. So if they cut themselves, they won't stop bleeding. And if you give them this medication, you can actually promote internal clotting and prevent the bleeding from expanding. And the hope with this research study is that if we use this medication in brain bleeds and use it very early on before that clot expands, we can stop it from expanding and stabilize the clot, and this way improve the injury that has happened to the brain from bleeding.
In most clinical studies, a person is told the details, the risk and the benefits and potential outcomes, then they decide whether or not to participate. But since you don't actually know you're having a stroke until you have one, and you may be incapacitated from it, the study is conducted very differently. How is it going to work?
Sure. So clinical research studies, they only work when people volunteer and give their permission to participate. And this process is known as informed consent. And so informed consent begins when researchers start explaining to you the purpose of the study, the extent of your involvement, including any experimental procedures, tests, or assessments that may be conducted. They'll explain the risks and the benefits, the length of the study, how they'll protect your privacy, and much more. And so the purpose of informed consent is to ensure that you understand what will happen to you for the duration of the study. And so it will include updates that may affect your decision to continue to participate. And so in most cases, researchers cannot start any research study activities until you provide your informed consent. However, during life-threatening emergencies, it may not be possible for you to provide consent to participate in research. And given the nature of emergencies, some treatments must begin very quickly, and there may not be time to contact a family member to ask for permission. And so the Food and Drug Administration, the FDA, has special rules for these situations that allow patients to be treated in research studies using a process called exception from informed consent for emergency research, also known as EFIC. And so these EFIC studies are special and rare, and an extensive vetting and community consultation process takes place before any study is approved to enroll patients without their consent. And so with that being said, I would like to highlight that with this particular trial, the FASTAS trial, if immediate family is available, we will make our best effort to reach out to them and ask them for informed consent for you to be enrolled in this study. And then, of course, if they want you to stop, or when you're able to, you decide that you want to stop your involvement in the study, just let researchers know, and we're more than happy to remove you from the study.
What needs to be done to get this emergency research approved?
So every modern day research study that exists requires the approval of an institutional review board, also known as the IRB. And the IRB, they approve all study related activities before recruitment or enrollment can begin. And so in the case of EFIC studies, an institution's local IRB requires several steps before an EFIC approved study begins. And so a research team must design and submit a community consultation plan that describes how the community will be informed about the study. And this allows time for community members to ask questions, share views and opinions on the research study. It also offers a way for community members to opt out of participation if they choose to do so. And so the community consultation can be done in several ways. And so a few of the ways include focus groups, town halls, local meetings, ads on television, radio, newspapers, magazines, and much more. And so during the public disclosure and community consultation processes, members of that community can learn how they can alert researchers if they do not want to participate in a study.
That was, my next question. Will everyone who comes to Wake Forest suffering from a stroke, are they automatically entered into the emergency study, or what happens?
So the short answer to this is no. Most strokes are ischemic, not hemorrhagic strokes, which is what the FASTAS trial is going to focus on. So there are a number of patients that fit the criteria for this study. The number of patients that fit the criteria for this study is small. And so a handful of patients is what we're looking to enroll throughout the next few years. And so if you've ever been seen as a patient here at Wake Forest Baptist Medical Center, you're going to have what's called a medical chart. And physicians will be able to see your information. And if there's anything that excludes you from participating in the study, or they see that you've opted out, you will not be entered into the emergency study. Additionally, if there's any other concern by medical personnel on your participation, once again, you'll be excluded. And I did want to reiterate also that we will make our best effort to contact immediate family or next of kin and ask for their informed consent on your behalf.
What do you hope to achieve by conducting this study?
What we are really hoping by conducting the study, and by the way, this is being conducted in not just at Wake Forest Baptist, but in about a large number of large academic centers around the country. This is a study funded by the National Institutes of Health. What we are hoping to determine, does this drug work in terms of limiting the brain injury with intracerebral hemorrhage, bleeding in the brain types of stroke? With the hope is that if we're able to show that, then we can deploy this medication for everybody that's coming in with intracerebral hemorrhage, and we'll have treatments for both ischemic strokes, which we already have, but also for hemorrhagic stroke, which is a fairly deadly disease.
Once again, let's go over some of the symptoms of a stroke and what you should do if you believe that you or someone nearby is having one.
So we're going to go over again, the FAST acronym, the face, arm, speech, and time. Stroke symptoms are typically sudden in onset, or you wake up with those symptoms where you're having either face abnormalities such as a drooping of the face, asymmetrical smile, sudden arm weakness, that's the arm part, sudden speech difficulty, producing speech, understanding speech, and time. Time is absolutely of the essence. If you experience any of those things, you need to call 911 so you can get to medical attention very quickly.
Yes, the most important thing is don't sit down, wait for it to pass, lie down, whatever. Just call. It's always better to call and then not need the emergency services than it is to not call and then they don't come and you really need them.
Absolutely. And people get embarrassed sometimes. They call 911, they come with the emergency services to the hospital. We check them out and turns out to be something else, or turns out to be not a stroke, or their symptoms resolve. It is okay. This is really what we expect. We expect a significant number of those calls to be to end up not being a stroke. But if we don't do that, then we will miss the real things, and we will miss the strokes that are significant, and we would lose the opportunity to help people from developing significant disabilities and brain injury.
How can people find out more about your stroke center and this research study?
So they can visit wakehealth.edu. And by visiting that website, in the top right corner, there's going to be a search tool. And if you type in comprehensive stroke center, it'll direct you to a link to the various services offered by the comprehensive stroke center and a list of the physicians available. Additionally, they're more than welcome to contact me at 336-716-8611. Again, that's 336-716-8611. And I encourage any listeners interested in neurology research trials here at Wake Forest Baptist to call that number for more information and see if you're eligible for any one of our clinical trials.
Do either of you have any final words you'd like to share with our listeners?
I want to thank you very much for having us and allowing us to talk about this. I was going to re-summarize again the research study that we are hoping to embark on soon with hemorrhagic strokes. This is a medication using factor 7, and the trial is called a fastest trial. And this is for patients who have bleeding inside the brain, and they will get this medication or a placebo. And with the hope is that getting this medication will prevent the expansion of the hemorrhage and improve the brain injury that has occurred from that brain bleed.
And I would also like to just thank all the listeners for giving us the opportunity to enlighten you all on stroke. And I do want to just highlight the importance of participation in clinical trials. You are contributing to research that could bring new treatments and advancements in medicine and reach patients across the globe one day. And so again, if you're interested in learning more about neurology research trials at Wake Forest, please feel free to contact me at 336-716-8611. Thank you again for your time.
Leilani L. Johnson, the Clinical Research Coordinator, and Dr. Mustafa Ezzedine of Wake Forest Baptist Health Medical Center, thank you both for this important information and for taking the time to speak with me this morning.
Thank you,
Charlie.
And once again, to find out more about Wake Forest Baptist Health's Comprehensive Stroke Center or more about this research study, visit wakehealth.edu and search Comprehensive Stroke Center or call 336-716-8611. I'm Charlie, and thank you for listening to Triad Today on 98.7 Simon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.